TAN 1340 AM for Legal Candy with attorney Candace Colucci. She's your guide to hurricane-related issues, property insurance law, and more sizzling legal topics. Get ready for a lively legal experience. Make your Saturday sweet with Legal Candy on WTAN 1340 AM.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Me long time ago. Now you come back knocking at my door. I hear you knocking, but you can't come in. I hear you knocking. Go back where you've been.
Boom, 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 boom.
I begged you not to go. Just said goodbye. Now you come back telling all those lies. I hear you knocking,
Juliana,
but you can't come in.
Juliana, Juliana.
I hear you knocking. Go back where you've been.
Boom, 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 boom.
For you old timers, it's Gail Storm. She had a huge hit on her hand with that song. I hear you knocking. Gail Storm. Anybody remember Gail Storm? She was My Little Margie on television right around the time of I Love Lucy, My Little Margie, among other things, and a singer. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for being with us on this Monday, November the 6th. Can you believe we have an off-year election tomorrow? We don't really have anything going on in Florida that I know about, but other parts of the country, there are governors that are running, all kinds of things. We'll talk a little bit about it. And in a few minutes, we'll be talking with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation. We are going to talk to Hans about his contention that judges and states have no legal authority to bar Donald Trump from running for president in their state on their state presidential ballots. There's a big to-do in several states about that. I think you're going to find the discussion very interesting. And speaking about Trump, a New York Times poll shows Donald Trump leading Joe Biden in five of six swing states. We're going to take a look at the details on that one. And are you ready for a robot as chief executive officer? An AI robot? Well, we got one. Running a major liquor company, too, and I'm going to tell you all about it. So stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 states with the fewest number of illegal immigrants. Stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, for the best haircut in Tampa Bay and a place you'll love, great ambiance, great price, great haircut, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin, Overcash Plaza, Tuesdays through Saturdays they are open. Call, please, for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And do you need any kind of work done regarding trees on your property, whether you're commercial or private property? Let me recommend someone I've used. They're great. ArborLife Tree Service. Whether you want to remove a tree, you want to get trees, you want to stump grind, anything to do with trees, they are the best. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, gosh, there's a lot going on. You never know where to start, to be frank about it, when you have so little time like we do, but the U.S. military has deployed a nuclear sub to the Middle East. Are we getting closer to a big confrontation there? A nuclear sub in the Middle East in the show of, deterrence against any further escalation? Look at Iran. They are really thumbing their nose right now, are they not? They make us look very weak. So we're rattling our drums a little bit. The vessel comes as the Israeli-Hamas war nears a month old. As you know, Israel declared war after Hamas-led forces slaughtered 1,400 people October the 7th during a festival that the Israelis were having. And on the sub, the Central Command, U.S. Central Command, no additional details, though it showed an image that appeared to appeared to show the sub in Egypt's Suez Canal. So there you go. Have to keep an eye on that one. So now, the New York Times, no friend of Donald Trump. They collaborated with Siena College. They've come up with a poll that shows that Donald is leading President Biden, in 5 of 6 battleground states. And Biden carried all 6 of these states in 2020. They are Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, and Pennsylvania. Biden won all of them. Trump's ahead. The only one that he's not ahead, and it's close, actually, there's only a 2 percentage point difference, is Wisconsin. Jolton Joe is ahead of Trump by 2 points in Wisconsin. So here comes David Axelrod. You remember David Axelrod during the Obama administration? He was chief of staff or advisor to Obama. He thinks it might be a good idea for Biden to drop out of the race on this poll. Axelrod says this, only Joe Biden can make this decision. If he continues to run, he'll be the nominee of the party, but he needs to decide whether that's wise, whether it's in his best interest or the country's. He confessed, Axelrod did, that it was late in the game for the Democrats to put forward another guy, but he said this poll is an ominous sign. He said it's very late to change horses. A lot will happen in the next year that nobody can predict. And Biden's team says his resolve to run is firm. Well, we'll see about that. I think the pressure from Democrats themselves may lead Biden to announce he's decided he's not going to run. We still have a year. That's an awful lot of time. And in a year, is Biden going to get any quicker on his feet? More cogent? You going to get more honest? I don't think so. Don't forget, we got all this stuff on he and his son. That's another thing. I don't think the Democrats want to contend with all of this. We've got a year. Now that we've got a Speaker of the House, we've got a year for the Republican House to investigate Joe Biden, and things are getting worse and worse. So we'll see where that goes. In the meantime, Bidenomics. Apparently, you know, they thought that word would be good. The Democrats did. It turns out it's the worst word. Some Democrats, including at the White House, told NBC News they're beginning to sour on the word Bidenomics. I don't know. I like Bidenomics. Every time I think of Bidenomics, I think of a train wreck. Anyway, Biden and his administration coined the word to promote the idea that their policies were improving the economy. However, some Democrats are saying that the branding may be doing more harm than good. No kidding. One anonymous Democrat strategist told NBC, whoever came up with Bidenomics should be fired. Ah, me. I mean, Ed, you like that word. Doesn't that make you feel warm? Isn't the term Bidenomics just like putting on a nice pair of warm slippers? Now, tell me the truth.
When something's named after you, the only person that feels good about it is the person it's named after.
Yeah, like Obamacare.
Everybody else, it's like golf clap time. Yeah.
Well, remember the term Obamacare?
Yeah.
I mean, to some people, I don't think there's many people that think much of the word Obamacare anymore. No. Now that they've kind of experienced what it's really all about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let's take our little break. When we come back, I can't wait to talk to Hans von Spakovsky about whether or not Donald Trump should be allowed to run in states that think they can stop him from getting on the ballot.
I sometimes wonder why all the flowers had to die. I dream about you and I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday, and delighted to have back an old friend of ours, Hans von Spakovsky. He's been a busy guy, by the way, going around and talking about whether or not Donald Trump can be barred from presidential ballots in different states. And he says the judges have no legal authority, really, to bar him the way things stand. Hans, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Paul, thanks for having me.
You know, you're a busy guy. I think I saw you over the weekend on the C-SPAN network doing a call-in show, and you were talking about this topic. And in the meantime, I think it was last Wednesday, the USA Today, Lawrence Tribe and Dennis Aftergut. Tribe is a constitutional emeritus professor at Harvard. Dennis Aftergut, he's a former federal prosecutor. They argue why Trump is ineligible for the 2024 ballot in USA Today, and they go on to talk about something called the disqualification clause affecting the decisions in both Colorado and Minnesota. But overall, they're saying that because of his stance January the 6th, in particular, and some of the things that he has said, automatically he's now being barred. Overall, your take on that concept?
Well, I hate to say it, but they're letting politics influence their constitutional, frankly, illogic at this point. Look, what this is all about, this is lawfare at its worst, Paul. But what's going on is they're trying to use Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which nobody's paid any attention to for 150 years. This was a provision that was put in because members of Congress were angry that members of the Confederate, former members, the Confederate government and Confederate military were starting to get elected to Congress. So they put in a provision that basically says you can't be a member of Congress You can't be an officer of the United States, and that's the key word, if you previously were a member of Congress or an officer of the United States, and you supported insurrection or rebellion. So the qualification for this provision to apply to you is that you previously were a member of Congress or an officer of the United States. Well, Donald Trump, as you know, was never a member of Congress. And people like Lawrence Tribe and others are saying, oh, well, he was an officer of the United States. Sorry, wrong. The Supreme Court has said, they first said it, if you can believe it, in 1888, that officers of the United States, the way that term is used in the Constitution, means somebody who is appointed to the federal government, not somebody who's elected. The Supreme Court has never wavered from that. In fact, they said that again in 2010, just a little over a decade ago, another case. So if you're appointed, like if you're Merrick Garland, you are an officer of the U.S. because you were appointed. But if you're elected, you are not considered an officer of the U.S. And so Section 3 doesn't even apply to Donald Trump. It doesn't apply to Mike Pence. It doesn't apply to Joe Biden or Kamala Harris. So that's the first failure, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But the other big failure is, and again, there are court cases on this. This was first said in 1869 by Samuel P. Chase in a case. He was the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court at the time. Section 3 came up, and you know what he said? Chase said, this provision in this amendment is not self-executing. What that means is that it can't be enforced until and unless Congress passes a federal statute that provides an enforcement mechanism. And guess what? Congress has never done that. That's why last year the Arizona State Supreme Court actually threw out a similar case like this. There they filed a lawsuit trying to get members of Congress disqualified from the ballot so they wouldn't be up for election in the 2022 congressional election. It was Andy Biggs and Paul Gosar. And the Supreme Court said Congress never passed any kind of enforcement mechanisms for this, so we can't use this provision.
You know, you got all the facts on your side. I really believe it, Hans. And I was listening, as I say, to this this program on C-SPAN, and the poor guy that you were talking about, I believe he was a progressive. I don't recall who he was, but he kept, I think, falling back on the idea, you know, emotion. It was kind of an emotional argument. And
Yeah.
You know, and you had all the facts. I thought, I'm going to be honest with you. I was saying to myself while I was rooting for you, but I was saying to myself after you just finished your opening comment, I thought, you know what? They can end the interview right now because this guy doesn't have anything to talk about. We've got, what, three states? Is it Colorado, Michigan, and Minnesota,
yeah.
And there are lawsuits and state court proceedings that are going on. Let me just ask you, excuse me, and cut to the chase, is this going to end up in the hands of the Supreme Court?
Yeah, if any of these courts rule the wrong way, and I have to tell you, I think that that's a strong possibility. The ultimate decider will be the U.S. Supreme Court. These judges so far have displayed a remarkable ignorance of Section 3, the tech, the Supreme Court precedent on this, and I'm afraid they may rule the wrong way. Can you imagine the chaos? Paul, look, you know this because your listeners call you all the time. Think about how upset people still are and how there's so much doubt about what happened in the 2020 election. Can you imagine the reaction across the country if some county judge in Colorado or Michigan or someplace else says, oh, by the way, Donald Trump can't be on the ballot in our state.
Yeah, chaos is what I would think.
Yes, it'll cause chaos.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that these state judges, some state judge, you know, tucked away in some part of Minnesota can do something like that. The other thing they talk about is, well, you know, January 6th and Donald Trump, and he wanted to overthrow the vote, and you know, they go down that road. He's an insurrectionist. What do you say to that?
Well, what I say to that is there's actually a federal statute on that issue. There's a federal statute that makes it a felony, a crime, to engage in any rebellion or insurrection against the U.S. government. Trump has never been convicted under that statute. He's never even been charged under that statute, and Congress already decided this issue. Remember, he was impeached a second time on January 11th, 2021, right before he was going to be leaving office. He was impeached, and Article 1 of the impeachment resolution is entitled Incitement of Insurrection. And yet, what do we know happened in the Senate? He was acquitted.
Right.
So what, again, is some county judge in some podunk county somewhere going to say, oh, well, my judgment, I've got more authority and power than Congress, who already decided this issue, and I'm going to say he actually was guilty of that.
Yeah, I think they would fast-track this thing right to the Supreme Court, be on greased skids, you know, to make a quick decision on something like that. You mentioned, and by the way, we're talking with Hans von Spakovsky. He's a senior legal fellow at the Great Heritage Foundation, where he works in the Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, and we're talking about this issue in several states about trying to bar Trump from their ballots running for president. Now we've got, I think, Donald Trump testifying on all these different, and like you say, it's political. But what we got going on in what is it in D.C. now New York? He's got so many of them, but you know, trying to get him somehow to face some sort of jail time, and it just seems like a crazy scenario. Different things, but then you look at the polls, and you know this: 5 of 6 swing states, he's beating Biden.
Well, yeah, and look, I think what's going on is a combination of how badly the country is doing economically. So people's pocketbooks are hurting. Every time they go to the gas station and pay more for gas than they've ever paid, that probably makes them unhappy with the current administration. But I think people also believe there's a two-tiered justice system that has developed, because they see these prosecutions of Donald Trump at the same time that the Justice Department, according to whistleblowers, and whistleblowers from the FBI too, say that they did everything they could to cover up and prevent an investigation of Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, and of Joe Biden.
I mean, if anybody should be in a court, in my humble opinion, but you're right. The media plays a huge part in this. Maybe it encourages some of these prosecutors, you know, and these attorney generals to do these kinds of things. I just wouldn't see this happening to Biden in these different courts.
No, you wouldn't. And people need to keep in mind, you know, the media is treating this as if it's something new. You would never know from reading these stories that Democrats tried to do this, like I said, last year they filed a series of lawsuits in different states, Arizona, Wisconsin, North Carolina, trying to get Republican members of the U.S. House and the Senate off the ballot using the exact same provision, right? Saying that, for example, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin had participated in insurrection on January 6th, and he should be disqualified. Every one of those cases, they were thrown out, and the challengers lost. And yet, here they're trying it again.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. This is the weirdest, most bizarre, what would you call it, a pre-election era I have ever experienced. with all of these things that are going on, I mean, we've got the border, we've got the Israeli war, we've got the Ukraine war, we've got gas prices, we've got Joe Biden's family situation, we got a former president in, you know, three or four different judicial cases going on. Have you, I mean, have you ever experienced anything like this in your life, Hans? This is just surreal.
It is, and look, more specifically, never in the history of the United States has the party controlling the White House filed lawsuits against what may be their opposing presidential candidate of the other party to both criminally prosecute him and second, to try to get him off the ballot so voters don't even have a choice. That's never happened in our entire history.
Yeah, it's absolutely unbelievable. Can't believe that it's going on. So, do you think that, like we mentioned, Colorado, Michigan, and Minnesota, these lawsuits are going on. Will there be quick resolutions, in your opinion?
I think yes. I mean, I do think the courts realize they've got to make decisions very quickly because the primaries start in February of next year, and these days, remember, many of these states not only have early voting, but the ability of people to vote by absentee ballot for a long time before election day.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the election officials have to get the ballots printed before even that starts. So they've got to make a decision as quickly as possible about that.
Yeah. Excellent point. Hans, I always feel better when I talk with you, and I really appreciate your coming on and putting it in terms we all can understand. Thank you so very much.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, and I'm happy to do it anytime.
I know you are. Thanks, Hans.
All right.
Look forward to seeing you and talking with you again. Hans von Spakovsky. All right. We're going to take our break. And when we come back, oh boy, we got a lot of things going on. Among other things, are you ready for a robot as a chief executive officer? We got one. We got a robot. It's a female robot, by the way, running a major liquor company. We'll tell you about it.
Make the stars look like they're not shining. Her hair falls perfectly without her trying. She's so beautiful. And I tell her every day.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back. It's Monday, and we're moving along in the month of November. I guess Donald Trump has taken the stand in that New York lawsuit, that civil lawsuit. Good old Letitia James. It says here, Trump took the stand this morning to testify in his civil trial stemming from the Attorney General Letitia James lawsuit that says he defrauded banks, inflated the value of his assets. I'd like to be in there listening to what he has to say. He has repeatedly said that James is out to get him. He calls the lawsuit a disgrace. By the way, I don't think anybody uses the word disgrace more than Donald Trump. That's one of his favorite words.
Do you think she's sitting in there?
Yeah, you know, she tends to show up.
Yeah, I wonder how many other cases she shows up
None.
For. Yeah.
None. We know that.
You brought that up that she had campaigned on that.
Oh, yeah, she
and
did.
And then I actually saw clips of it, but she denies it.
Oh, well, she's
she
crazy.
She denies I'd never said that, but it's clear as day she said...
She says it on...
Yeah, I'm going to get him. Oh, yeah, you know.
She made the whole thing when she was running about going after Donald Trump.
Well, I hope he beats this, and when he does it, he wants restitution.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Now... this is some good news for Ron DeSantis, not so good news maybe for the Donald. The governor of Iowa, Kim Reynolds, is set this today to endorse Ron DeSantis for president. She's going to say it in a rally this evening in Des Moines. This boost comes as polls indicate that Ron is trailing Trump. Distant second in Iowa and in national surveys. So I wonder if that will give any kind of...
It's not going to catch him. I mean, at what point... I mean, the others are going to start dropping like flies quickly here.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does Ron...
But do you think... That's a very good, interesting point. If the others drop like flies and there's only... Let's just sake of argument, there's three left. Mm. There's Trump, DeSantis, and say Nikki Haley or something. Wouldn't the others that were not voting for Trump and voting for some of the others coalesce around one of those two and then make those two close, two or three, you know what I mean?
I don't know.
Might make it a little bit more interesting
we
that way.
We have any debates coming up? Or?
Yeah. We have a debate in Miami coming up. Okay. And I think, I'm not sure if it's this week or coming up next week, but I think it's coming up pretty soon. Hey. Our eye in the northern sky is sitting here patiently waiting to get on the air with us, Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, all kinds of things involving Donald Trump. We talked earlier on the show that he is leading Joe Biden in five of six swing states. He's testifying in New York. You know, he's running in Iowa's primary, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that the others should just coalesce around Donald Trump. Like you said, if there's a couple just staying in, they should, for the good of the country, if they see the polls, how the Republicans want Donald Trump, they should just say, okay, we back up Donald Trump, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
This is we have to take back this country and get it back on its right foot, you
mm-hmm.
know?
So do you think during the debate coming up in Miami that all of them that are there, and Trump will not be there, of course, which is kind of funny, since he lives only a few miles away, should they all gracefully take the microphone and say, I officially suspend my campaign and back Donald Trump?
Well, they should.
I don't think they're going to do it.
Yeah, they won't do it, but you know what? I mean, handwriting's on the wall. I mean, he's going to get the nomination. He's leading in the polls, that Forbes poll that you were talking about, where Trump is leading in all the swing states, but look.
Yeah, that's the New York Times Siena poll.
Brandon has 2 points in Wisconsin, and that's going to fade pretty soon. You know, I mean, you have to see it. I mean, Donald Trump, he really doesn't have to go into the debate. You know what he did.
Yeah.
You know what his record is. You know, they say, well, he should be here to debate and everything. The American people know what he did. I mean, that's why he's leading in the polls. I mean, it's kind of like a farce, don't you think, that he would have to go to a debate when we already know what he's capable of doing?
Well, I don't think it would be a farce, but I do understand why he's not showing up, and I think so far it's working like a charm. But I do think it would be interesting to see him in the debates. I would like to listen to what he has to say, especially now that we've got the Ukraine war, and we've got the Israeli war, And, you know, he would have to take the slings and arrows of guys like Chris Christie that are still running, although I don't think Christie's going to be long for this world.
He's starting to make a fool of himself. I saw it over the weekend where I forget what it was that they were at. He just came out, whatever he was, he walked up and started bashing Trump. And people just started booing him, and he's laughing at him. Look, he's applying for a job at CNN or one of those stations over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that could be
that's
right.
That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
Seriously, that's all he's doing.
Yeah, you may be right about that. The other guy.
He's never going to get another job in politics. Not after what happened in New Jersey with the whole shutting down the freeway, yeah, the bridge, so people couldn't vote. Well, he blamed it on his assistant, of course. You know.
Yeah. Where they say it rolls downhill. Right?
You know, the other guy that also got some slings and arrows because he's a kind of an anti-Trumper is Asa Hutchinson.
Yeah, he's another one that needs to get his free T-shirt and move on.
Yeah, he's Asa Hutchinson. Really? Where does this guy think he's going?
His wife is voting for him, that's all.
Yeah, his wife came out and said she's voting for Trump.
Probably,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, didn't Asa Hutchinson say that Trump is definitely going to go to jail? Right?
He said there's a good chance of it, yeah.
You have a good chance of going to jail, right?
Yeah. That doesn't get you in very well with the Republicans when you come out and you say something like that. So let me turn away from Donald Trump for just a second and ask you, Angelo, what do you think of the Speaker of the House, Michael Johnson? Do you think he's doing a good job? Let me just mention, he said yesterday that it makes sense to, you know, he's got a bill strictly for funding Israel. He cut off all of the other things they wanted to add to that particular bill. But he says it makes sense to couple the other situation, the Ukraine situation, and aid to Ukraine with funding our southern border. What do you think of him overall? Do you think he's a good speaker?
I don't know too much about him. You know, I haven't read too much on him. You know, like he's trying to tie these bills with like the war in Ukraine and the war in Israel.
He's trying to untie those two bills.
Right. He's trying to make them separate bills.
Yes.
Correct. Well, I can understand that. Make them separate bill. But you know, these politicians always have a way of tagging things to the bills that they want to go. What do they call those?
No, they do it all the time. Yeah, I know what you mean.
You know what reminds me of? Remember when you were in high school and you wanted to go on a field trip or something, and you needed something signed by your parents?
Right.
And you put it in the middle of other things that needed to be signed, like your extra lunch money and stuff like that. And you slip that in there. Yeah, just sign here, sign here, sign here.
Slip your report card in there, too.
And your report card, of course. But that's what this whole thing reminds me of, what they do with this whole thing. And, you know, I know the Dems are going after this guy like he's the worst thing in the world, next to Jason the Killer or something, for crying out loud. But to judge a guy that quickly, I mean, they find something in everybody. Everybody. I mean, he turned left when he should have turned right. You know, he ran over a little old lady with a golf cart. You know, who knows?
They can find very little wrong. This guy, I tell you what, he's pretty squeaky clean. He doesn't even have a lot of money. Did you hear about this situation with his claim that Johnson lives paycheck to paycheck? Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
No, I didn't hear that one.
Yeah. Some people are rallying around Johnson after a report nitpicking his personal finances. The Daily Beast, which is a left-wing journal, they published a report headlined, "Does New Speaker of the House Mike Johnson Have a Bank Account?" It featured a subhead that said, "He's never listed a bank account on his financial disclosure. In fact, on his newest disclosure, he doesn't list a single asset at all." Well, it turns out that he's under the minimum amount of money required for you to list. You know what I mean? That's how little he has. I think that's a positive.
Their paychecks I wouldn't mind having their paycheck. What do they make, $170,000?
Yeah, something like that.
And then if you're Speaker of the House, I'm sure you make a little bit more, correct?
I'm not sure about that.
Part of a paycheck, from paycheck to paycheck to live. I'll be honest with you. You know?
Yeah.
And then another thing I was reading about, they want to screw around with our Social Security. Why would you do that to the American people? You want to cut things, cut your pay. Don't cut the retirees' pay.
Who do you think wants to screw around with Social Security?
Democrats.
Where did you hear that?
I was reading, and I don't know if it's true or not.
Well, the Democrats are using that as a sort of Damocles on Republicans. They say it's the Republicans that want to cut Social Security.
They're trying to say that the Republicans want to cut.
And they're saying that they're going to keep it no matter what.
Well, they always say that, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, the Republicans, they always show them like they're going to throw Grandma off the cliff, you know?
Right.
But, you know, they always use that thing with Social Security. You know, just drop it, but I'm sure that they like using it, you know? Because you know they're not going to screw around with our Social Security. That would be a death knell to any party.
That's right.
You know, I don't know if this can be done or not, but I would like to see when we elect somebody into Congress or whatever, that person that's going into Congress, should everybody that voted for him should be able to see everything that person votes on. Everything. So if there's a bill coming down and all those things that we talked about being shoved in between, so the American people will see exactly where every dollar is going. Why can't we see that? Why, if we're putting these people in our trust in these people to run this country, why can't we see everything that is voted on? And I know it might be 5,000 pages or something, but these people in Congress can read it in 10 minutes, supposedly. 5,000 pages. I wouldn't mind.
They never read them.
We've got time. What are they afraid of? What are they afraid of? Because they don't want to see that we're spending $1 billion on the study of fish swimming upstream.
You remember the famous comment by Nancy Pelosi when they came time to vote on Obamacare. We have to pass the bill before we can look into it. So that we can get past the fog. Remember that?
Yeah, let's pass it first.
We'll pass it, then we'll look at it.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
We call Washington the swamp.
Tell that to a bank when you're trying to buy something. Just give me the money.
Give me the money first, then you can look.
And then we'll worry about the mortgage. There, don't worry about that.
Yeah. Trust me. Trust me. I can pay it back. Oh, Lord. All right. Well, it's always a pleasure having you on, Angelo. Thanks for calling in, buddy.
You're quite welcome. Appreciate it. Thank you. You guys all have a great day.
And the same to you.
And don't forget, tomorrow's election day.
That's right. Yeah. Is there anything going on in Rochester or in New York?
Well, we got, you know, the elections going for, you know, your towns and villages
local
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And your local elections and off-year election, you know.
Would you please tell your friends up there, be careful who you're voting for?
Oh, unbelievable. You know, I just don't understand how the governor we got, she wants to do away with gas stoves, your propane tanks, your this, your that. She wants to do away with cars, everything. And yet, I don't understand the New Yorkers, how they can vote for this person.
I wonder, wouldn't it be a kick if in the state of New York voted for Trump?
Oh, that would be great.
I wonder if it's possible.
Well, I hope he comes over when he's running. I hope he stops in Rochester again. He did when he ran in
I hope he does, too. Yeah.
And don't forget, Veterans Day Saturday, too.
What is?
The 11th, November the 11th. Veterans Day.
Oh, Veterans Day. Yes, indeed. That is coming up, of course. All right, buddy. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Have a good one.
All right. There he goes, our eye in the northern sky. All right, let's take our break. And when we come back, I promise you, we're going to talk about this robot that is the CEO of a liquor company.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment on a Monday of Freedom Works, and we sure appreciate that you are with us. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. But if you can't listen live, thanks to Big Ed, he puts all our shows on podcast, so all you have to do, go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button at the top. Ed's got all the shows there lined up for you. Most recent show at the top, you'll know who the guest is, the topic with the guest, and the top 10, OurFreedomWorks.com. So here we go. The first humanoid robot announced as the CEO of a major liquor company, Hanson Robotics, and Polish-run company Dictador, created Mika, as Dictador's top executive. In a company video, Mika says that, quote, "With advanced artificial intelligence and machine learning algorithms, I can swiftly and accurately make data-driven decisions." There you go.
Data-driven.
Data-driven.
So in other words, whatever you put into it, that's what comes out.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hanson Robotics CEO David Hanson, who played a key role in employing Mika at Dictador, emphasized the importance of, quote, humanizing artificial intelligence.
Are we saving a CEO's salary by not having to pay Mika? Or the person that built Mika gets a royalty.
I think they're saving a lot of money, and we'd like to know who the, like with Biden, who is the power behind Mika, yeah. Right? The power behind. He goes on. The Hanson Robotics CEO says, "I feel very strongly, excuse me, that we need to teach AI to care about people, and for AI to be really safe, and to be really, really good. I think humanizing that is a very important decision." Now, this is the same guy who in 2016 unveiled Mika's sister, Sophia, who once said that she will, quote, "destroy humans."
So I'm wondering
here. I'm a little worried about buying the liquor.
Now Sophia's living in a cardboard box in Skid Row, performing tricks for
I love the visual. Oh, my God. All right, Ed. Before we get to
No. Don't even bother. You're going to ask about what happened with the Bucks?
Yes, I have to ask
you. The Bucks flat out stink.
I was thinking of you at the end of that game when that...
Stink.
Very frustrating, but it was, I guess you could admit, it was exciting. Yeah. It was a depressing loss.
Here's the thing. Everybody's like, well, the defense won. It wasn't the offense won. You know what? When you're up in the third quarter by 4 points, you don't play not to lose. You step on their throats and keep scoring. Not, well, we'll run the ball 3 times here. If we don't get a first down, we'll just kick it. That's the attitude. And then if you're up by 4, then it becomes 1, and then all of a sudden you're behind.
We got to let our listeners know that Tampa Bay was at Houston, Texas, and they lost in the final couple of minutes of the game.
By a rookie quarterback that threw for 5 touchdown passes.
He broke records.
455
unbelievable
yards. Wait a minute.
What happened to the defense
of
the box?
Hold on. He just threw another touchdown pass.
He did just now.
Yeah.
What happened to the porous Bucs defense?
They gave up. They were flat out tired. Because at the the last quarter of the game, the Bucs had 14 total yards in the third quarter.
Oh.
14. Which, if your offense is not on the field, guess who is? Your defense.
Yeah, your defense is just worn out.
They were done.
Uh-huh.
They were done.
Wow. Okay. All right, my friend. It's time for our top 10. On Friday, we gave you the top 10 states with the highest rate of illegal immigrants. We're going to give you now the top 10 states with the fewest illegal immigrants.
Illegal. These are those dirty people that we don't want coming across the people. Is that what
illegals, no matter what.
If I remember from Thursday, they're dirty people, right? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, here we go. Number 10. Rhode Island. It's actually tied with Delaware. They both have 24,000 illegal immigrants.
Well, anymore, that state will tip over, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they're not the biggest states.
No.
And Biden made sure for his home state of Delaware, right? All right, number 9. They'll stay up there in the Northeast. New Hampshire's 9th. 11,000 illegals are in New Hampshire, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. Number 8. I'm not surprised on this one. Alaska, they don't want to go that far north.
No.
But they got 10,000 illegals in Alaska.
Well,
maybe some of those cross over from Russia.
I think there's a bit of a trend because the top states that had most were California and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they can blend in there. If you're talking about people
Alaska,
that are coming,
not so much.
No, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Or Delaware or Rhode Island.
No, you're right about that. All right. We have a tie coming up, so we'll say number 6. Number 6 is a tie between Wyoming and South Dakota.
Yeah, not going to fit in there.
They're not going to fit in either one of those two states. 7,000 did fit in, however. Okay. So that leads us to number 4. North Dakota. Well, why not, right? They don't fit in North Dakota, do they? 5,000 illegals. I would think there'd be more people crossing the northern border into North Dakota, right?
Yeah, people in North Dakota.
It's easier to sneak in from Canada.
In North Dakota, they're saying, what immigration problem? We don't have an immigration problem.
Okay. By the way, this was a tie. Because I forgot to tell you, Maine is also there. Maine is 4th as well. Yeah. They've got 5,000 as well. All right. So, number 3, West Virginia. Not a lot of them want to do work in the coal mines. No. West Virginia has 4,000 illegal immigrants there, all right? All right, so this is a tie coming up here, Ed, for number 1. Vermont and Montana each have 3,000 illegal immigrants.
It's all northern states.
They're all northern states. Let me see what this...
Well, I think they got up into New York. That was a little present for Mayor Adams up there. We don't have an immigration problem. Oh, yeah, here they
come. New York's got a few, and so does New Jersey. Yeah. They've got quite a few, but not the rest of them. You're right. They pretty much are staying out of those other states. Now, by the way, this I should have said that this was from Statista. That's a statistics company, and they estimate that there are approximately 11 million illegals in the U.S., at least as of 2019. So there's got to be more than that now, right?
Whenever we get the holes fixed in the border, we're going to spend the rest of our lives trying to figure out who these people are that are already here.
Yeah. How are we ever going to get them out? That's the question. Yeah. We won't. All right. Thank you so very much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday. Be good out there. Be safe. And remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. Former President Trump testifying now under oath at his New York civil fraud trial as he headed into court about an hour ago.